ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what a big down. Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday edition of the Killer Bees. Jeremy's on vacation all week, though he's still being extremely active on Twitter, which I don't think he should be because he's on vacation. He needs to just shut it down and enjoy.
Isn't he on a cruise ship?
He's supposed to be. Maybe they're leaving today. But he was extremely active on. I was like, bro, you're on vacation. Put it down.
Especially on a cruise ship.
Right?
I mean, isn't that kind of the point? You get away where the cell reception isn't good and you disconnect for a little while?
I mean.
But like you said, maybe he hasn't taken off yet, so benefit of the doubt.
But even if you're on vacation and you're a staycationer, just shut it down for a week and enjoy the downtime. And
see, I'm going to disagree with you there, and this might be maybe this is a generational thing, but there's a little bit of a difference here. I couldn't completely disconnect if I was staycation. Now, if I'm actually out, you know, on the road or on this cruise ship or someplace where I'm removed from my regular everyday-to-day life, I could disconnect then with stuff to do. But if I'm just at home. Nothing changes. I'm gonna be on my phone. I'm gonna be connected.
Okay, maybe not a staycation, but aside from a staycation, if I am on vacation anywhere, especially as you know, with the family, with the kids, with everything, and trying to do things and go out and see things, and I am not gonna care a whole hell of a lot about my phone. I can catch up at the end of the night on what the Astros did or what happened in Houston sports, so that I'm somewhat up to speed when I come back. But overall, I'm not checking it every minute or having it in my pocket to be concerned about what's going on.
Wait, you don't even have it in your pocket?
I'm saying, if it's in my pocket during the regular day, I'm checking it all the time. And I'm checking Twitter and messages,
sure,
and text, whatever. If I'm vacationing, especially somewhere sunny, it's probably on the towel, in my shoe. I'll check it every so often.
No, see, I was with you until you said you don't even have it on you, basically. I couldn't go that far because I would still, like, you know, there's going to be little momentary breaks if you're out somewhere and someone needs to go to the restroom. Like if you're at the zoo or something, someone's going to the restroom or something, there's a natural break. Maybe someone's waiting in line for a soda or something. I might check on my phone just to see if there's anything happening for 90 seconds and then put it back. But yeah, I don't think I could completely just leave it in a room. Like, remember this is really going bad. But back in the days when we were younger and we'd be going to water parks, because I don't think anyone over the age of 20 goes to water parks now. But you would check your stuff into a locker, you know, lock it up and leave it all day and walk away. There's no way I could do that now in 2024.
That's
amazing. Leave my phone in a locker and just walk away.
But why not? Like, Lisa's like you.
I think my brain would melt. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation for you, Joel, other than I've been conditioned now that this is how life works. I guess the cheap answer is I have a 3-year-old. I got to be able to, you know, someone has to be able to get a hold of me if necessary. But I don't really have a good answer other than that's been how my brain's been conditioned to work for the last, you know, 15 years or so.
See, you made it age-related early. But the thing is, aside from being like get off my lawn guy, I'm like, there was a time not so far in the past when we didn't have to have that much dialed into our phone, whether it because of internet and email and texting and all that other things. But it's like, I get it during the grind of the week. Like when I was working for the Rockets, it was all the time. You were on call. Even if you're on vacation, you're on call. I get that, because if something goes wrong, it's in your area, or if something comes up, you have to be able to pivot. That's just how it is. But like, as you get a family man and relationships and all these other things, and you're like, you know what? At a certain point, if I'm on vacation, I'm on vacation. And part of vacation is I need to take a break from all that constantly on call crap.
Sure. No, I get it. And you're not wrong, ideally. I just don't think I could get my brain to accept that sort of break. I think the conditioning and the getting used to and the reprogramming that's gone over in the last 15 years is not something I could break very quickly.
Now, you're catching a little on Twitch because of the
already?
Comment.
It's 3:07.
I mean, you are popular there. But the thing is.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
The people, I think that's a smart move. The people under the age of 20 comment about water parks. My daughter goes to the water park.
She's under 20.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I said people over the age of 20 don't go to water parks.
Oh,
now.
I think they do. I think a lot of them are because they bring their kids. But I also think, like,
I mean, that's, I mean, okay. Yeah, sure. If you have kids, I that's not really the way I was presenting it, but maybe I should have said that instead of just assuming everyone was with me on that.
Now, is floating the river considered a water park?
No. If you're like, if you're floating down the Guadalupe or something like that. No, that's not a water park. Because you're enjoying nature.
I think.
Well, and you're also drinking, but you're enjoying nature.
Yeah, and peeing in the water. And the fringiness is you get the college kids that come back for the summer that will still go to the water park.
No, I'm not saying you can't do it. I just didn't think that it was as popular as it used to. Like growing up, we would go to Schlitterbahn. We would go to, back when the Astroworld, what was it, Waterworld that was attached to Astroworld. And we would do those sort of things. But and maybe it's just because we don't have the theme parks right here, even though Splash Town, or I can't remember what it's called now in spring, isn't all that far away. But it just doesn't seem to be as popular, especially once you, quote-unquote, age out after a little while.
Okay. I mean, look.
I could be wrong. That was just my, you know, that's kind of my 1,000-foot view of it. And I have, that's not something I've done. Maybe I'm assuming too much just because based upon what I've done. But it doesn't seem as popular.
I don't have the desire to go. Like,
there we go.
But if my daughter or daughters wanted to go, then of course I would take them. But I don't think that I think I'm probably in the majority that you're right. You're probably right that most adults don't want to go or seek
like,
that out.
Like, would you go, like, okay, so your wife and kids were in California not all that, you know, far, you know, all pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
You would never in a million years use your free time when you're by yourself to go to a water park.
Absolutely not.
That's my point.
But I'm not a water person. I'm not a big watery person. I don't look to go swimming or boating.
Aren't there a million lakes where you grew up?
That's probably why. I grew up so close to Lake Michigan that I was like, yeah, it's there. Yeah, you know, we go every now and often.
What are you going to call it, mid? You sound very unimpressed by Lake Michigan.
It was like, you know, our neighbors had a sailboat, and they would take us all on the boat a lot and stuff like that.
Didn't impress you,
and
huh?
I was like, meh, it's okay.
Really?
Yeah, not a big deal.
See, I love that. Like, I had a rich uncle growing up. Married into the family. He's no longer with the family. A whole other story. But he had a cigarette boat, and he would take us out into the bay and things like that. And it was, man, it was a blast. That was a reason to make some money, which I didn't follow up on, unfortunately. I find that sort of to be amazing, like taking a boat out. I couldn't imagine, like, hey, let's, you know, my wife and kids are gone on a Saturday. Hey, let me go to Splash Town and run around and slide down the slides. Now, if I had my own private one, if I had some slides in the backyard going into a pool, I would definitely do that. But I can't imagine going out into a public water park now.
Do you not, like, out your way, your subdivision or your neighborhood, do they not have, like, community pools
but the slide, and some of them have slides, not all of them do, but they're usually, I mean, it's I don't know, 8 foot tall, you know, completely straight slide, doesn't turn at all. It's not very fancy.
Oh, see, in Sugar Land, they have like several, in each community, several pools that have probably two of the curvy, windy slide things.
Yeah, there are some, like when we went out to do, when we did the ESPN 97.5 golf tournament out in Porter at, it was Highland Pines. I was trying to think of the name.
Yep.
Out in the Highland Pines golf course, which is, I can't remember if the community is also called Highland Pines or if it's called something else. But anyway,
it is, I think it
they're,
is.
They're building, and there's a few more of these in our area, just not super close to my house and not in the community I'm in. But there's several that are building like full on like lagoons with wave pools and like full-on water parks. But no, the in my area, in my part of Kingwood, it's much more basic and not as thrilling. So I haven't been to one of those in my community.
We were shocked when we first moved out of Midtown and down, you know, when we got married, and we were shocked. Like when you get when you sign all the paperwork and everything like that, they give you these little key fobs. And they're like, hey, this is, and we're like, what's this for? The community weight room or something like that. They're like, well, and all the pools in the area. I'm like, what? Why do we need a pool? Why did we have to go and find a house with a pool in the backyard?
They give you a key fob to get in?
Oh, it's like, oh, the, and with the Facebook groups and everything like that, oh, they're monitoring who's in there. it's a whole, like, Gestapo of, like, you know, you're not allowed in here. Who are you, a guest?
See, I was going to say Karen's. You went full on Gestapo.
Oh, my
but.
God. They're just like, it's everything out there. It's like they built a full court basketball court in a, like one of the tennis courts. And then all of a sudden they found out kids from outside the neighborhood were coming into play. God. So then it was like you had to hire a security guy.
hired security guards to keep kids from playing
basketball? Yeah, and there was a sign-up sheet. Oh, I'm like, people, what are we doing?
Yeah,
like, when I grew up, I'm looking for 10 guys so we could play full court.
Sure.
If not all 10 lived in the neighborhood, so what?
Yeah. No, like, I remember growing up playing in, because I grew up in Deer Park, and we would play, where we always would play, it was at the community center basketball court, and you had to show, like, some sort of ID or something to get in. I kind of understand that because it's city funded, but a neighborhood park? I can't imagine hiring security to keep kids out and play a ball in a neighborhood park.
I couldn't be on the Facebook page anymore, the neighborhood we moved out of, because every single day there were 15 posts about several people bitching about just about anything. It was the pools. It was the rudeness of a lifeguard or a non-resident in the pool or the basketball court or something else. And I'm going, are we really that stuck up that that's what you're focused on? Like, I'm just happy there's a place that my kids, so I don't have to go to one of those water parks, that my kids could go do the slides and whatever and have some fun and then chill out instead of driving to Spring or driving to Katy Mills.
Yeah, maybe I'm missing out here because from 2239, just texted in, y'all are missing out. My wife and I are waiting to leave the kids with a sitter, get plastered, and go to Schlitterbahn. So maybe really? I'm missing out. Yeah, I now thinking about it growing up, I do remember, obviously, adults being at the water parks, but I just assumed it was all adults with their kids. Maybe I am missing out, but I didn't really even think about me as a 40-year-old man just going to a water park on my own without kids. It just feels, doesn't it feel, it's not as creepy as going to like an arcade with no kids, or a place geared for kids going by yourself. It just feels creepy.
I can tell you what's creepy.
Arcade's the wrong word because they do have adult arcades, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well,
going to a place like a Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Or can the you indoor imagine trampoline walking parks. Into that?
Yeah, exactly. You can't go into one of those places on your own without kids. It just feels weird.
Well, if you do, I'm going to beat your ass because I know that the one time I took my kids and I saw the dude without kids walk in with a backpack on and he came in and he just sat and leaned up against the wall and was like scouting. Exactly. Room. I watched him like a hawk. I like, bro, you take one step towards my kids and you're gonna find out there's a whole new existence of certain parents that we're not playing that game. But arcades, maybe back in the day, but not so much now
they're more adult friendly, adult geared. I know there's Cidercade is one of them. There's one downtown I've been meaning to go to. I can't remember the name of it. It's actually right by Minute Maid Park. I'm trying
to remember. That's the one that I think that you mentioned it.
No, it's not Cidercade. Cidercade's different. The one downtown.
Cidercade's right on the border of Edo coming into downtown.
Well, maybe there are multiple because I'm thinking of something. Joysticks. I'm thinking of Joysticks. That's right downtown.
That's right next to the ballpark.
Yeah, right next to the ballpark. Cidercades, you know, there as well. So a lot of them are more adult friendly and adult geared now. But yeah, there's some places when it's geared towards kids. And maybe I had lumped water parks into this where it just feels weird to go to as like, you know, as an adult without kids. I mean, I have kids, but without bringing them there, it would feel really weird.
Well, not yet, but you go to movies by yourself. 7-1.
Yeah, that's complete. Wait, hold on. No, you can't just throw the break off of that. Like, throw me under the bus. How's that creepy? If I go,
I just
like,
think it's weird. I traveled all those years, and I never, like, I would feel, I just felt weird going to eat by myself or going to movies by myself. I could do it. I would do it from time to time. But normally,
I could just feel comfortable with your own thoughts.
I would just order in. This, or I would see what's on the movie channels or whatever in the room, but like I just didn't.
But what if it's a movie that's not available for that yet?
Then I'd deal with it and see it when I got home.
Okay, all right. Agree to disagree, but that's not the same as going to a bounce house or something. Don't let me in there.
713-780-3776. Would you and your significant other, as grown adults without kids, go to a water park? Now I'm curious because I thought the answer was overwhelmingly no as well, to Brian's point. But now we seem to have some people that are on the other side of it. So let's see where you sit on that one. 713-780-3776. It's Brian and myself all the way till 6. Jeremy is going to be out all week. So it's Brian today, Thursday and Friday, Barry on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll have you covered throughout the week. We're going to get some Astros next. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, as we always do. After a series win and a World Series heartbreaker for the Mariner fans that we got to get into and a whole lot more, so stay with us on the Killer Bees. And before we go to break, I want to tell you about the good people at Vanderford Air. Look, Vanderford Air is the place that you need to have locked into your phone. It's 281-557-COOL. You got to have that number in your phone because you never know when you're going to need it. But we know that the dog days of summer are still coming. The triple digits are around the corner, and once they get here, we are going to have a hell of a time getting rid of them. And you need your air conditioning units just like you need all the services in your house. And Vandeford does so much more than air conditioning, but the main concern right now is your HVAC and AC units. They're the best in the business. And the reason why I say that is, sure, everybody does about the same kind of things, but not those other companies. None of them do, that I know of, exactly what Vandeford does, and that's they guarantee everything that they do. From the time that you call them, they guarantee within 24 hours they'll be at your door to see what's going on with what you got working with your air conditioning unit and your HVAC. From the time that you call them and they start doing work, everything from the parts or the complete systems that they install to their workers and how attentive they are and the work that they do to the system itself, getting it to work and get the temperature and everything ideally the way you want it, your satisfaction is guaranteed 100% or your money back. That's why I encourage you to go to them. VandefordAir.com has everything online. But the main thing is, maybe you're worried about all the humidity and you want a dehumidifier put into your system. They can do that too. They can do so many things, but they do it really well, and they do it with all the guarantees behind them. That's why I encourage you to check them out. Save that number in your phone. You never know when you're going to need it. 281-557-COOL. Maybe have them come check out what you got going on now, so they can see if a problem might be on the horizon and they can check your system. Otherwise, if something happens, call them. They'll be to your door within 24 hours. 281-557-COOL, VandefordAir.com.
ESPN. 97.5. You found the killer bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lots of people with lots of comments, which I like, in the first half hour of the Killer Bees with BMAC and myself, as Jeremy is on vacation this week. Todd, the show's got a lot to say. Says, am I supposed to bring a buddy to go watch an action movie? Yeah,
exactly.
Why not?
No, you don't to bring a buddy. No, he said,
you don't have to.
Well, that's what he's saying. You don't have to. Like, when I saw Beekeeper with the great Jason Statham, I went by myself and felt great about it.
Well, and then he followed it up with, I think, solo movie guy Brian. At a kid's movie should be tracked. Now, he's not wrong.
No, I'm not going to kids' movies, though. I've never. Well, my kid daughter's three, but she's not really going to movies yet. So we haven't even done that with her.
Oh, good luck.
But I've never, outside of actually being a kid, I haven't gone to see a kid's movie. So no problem there.
So see, and then the trifecta from Todd. But now he says he's actually mad today because his kids went to see Twisters with their sister, and he wanted to see it too. Is there now some kind of restriction? You can't go see it, Todd, because they went to see it without you? Pull a BMAC. Go by yourself. Popcorn, big soda.
Well, one, I would say consider yourself lucky because now you get the better viewing experience of going in to see it by yourself instead of with kids that are going to annoy you. So I think you actually lucked out here, Todd. But I would back him up, though. Unless he didn't let his wife or whoever know that he wanted to see the movie. But if it was known that he did want to see the movie and they then went without him, yeah, I'd be annoyed. Like, hey, come on. We talked about doing this and now you went without me?
Well, I mean, if you talk about it to do it as a group, that's one thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it's just that you are hell-bent on seeing the movie. You can see the movie.
Right, exactly. So we need to know more of the backstory. But like in a scenario where they had talked about going to see it and then they just went off to see it on their own, that would be annoying. But honestly, I think he lucked out because now he gets to go see it by himself, which is the far better movie-going experience.
Nothing annoyed me more as my kids got older and started taking them to movies than the fact that they couldn't sit through the whole thing. Because the one thing is,
You were having to leave in the middle of movies?
Yeah. It's already that I'm trying to, like, say this is part of parenting. I have to go because they want to see the movie more than me.
Sure.
But then when you actually start getting into the movie or following it to a certain degree, and all of a sudden they're like, I can't take it anymore. I got to leave. We got to go. And I'm like, what do you mean we got to go? Yeah, I don't want to see it anymore. I'm done. And then the little one gets fussy and I'm going, so we know exactly how the movie's going. We just won't know how it ends. That's really not cool.
It seems like you're taking issue more so with their attention span then, more than anything else.
Part of it,
because
yes.
That sounds like what that is.
But then when they say, Dad, can we go to another movie?
I mean,
don't you mean a half?
Your littlest one is four, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's tough. Mine's three, but there are some other factors involved that we won't touch on as why we wouldn't take her to the movie right now. But I can't imagine a four-year-old on a regular basis being able to sit through a two-hour movie.
Well,
that would seem very optimistic on their ability to pay attention for
early
that long.
Early on, it wasn't good, but then when she realized, she starts kind of like emulating her big sister a lot more.
Okay.
Then when her big sister says, I really want to see this, then she'll tough it out.
Okay.
But early on, it was frustrating because I'm like, well, don't you kind of want to see how this thing ends? No? No? Okay, great.
Yeah, they just don't. I mean, at that age, I mean, I don't have a four-year-old, but three is pretty close.
It's close.
I mean, there's a reason why episodes of Peppa Pig are 5 minutes long. there's a reason for it.
What's Bluey, like 14?
Probably. I can't. I don't think I've seen a kid's show that she's watched that's more than 15 minutes. So I can't imagine trying to then get that same kid to sit through something that's 2 hours long. Now, I'm sure most kids' movies are cognizant of that, and they're closer to 90 minutes than they are 2 hours. But still, 90 minutes from 15 is quite a jump.
Okay, so we got some responses now on your water park.
Yeah, I turned out, I think I'm in the wrong here.
B-Mac in a thong, all the water park will scare them kids off, says 5674.
That's a fair comment. Okay. That is a fair comment.
I hope it's not fair that you considered a thong.
No, I would never consider a thong because I have respect for my fellow man. But it would be fair that if I did show up in that it would scare the kids off.
You should have concern about your own comfort, too, because I don't know how that would be comfortable.
No, I can't imagine it would be.
Key from L.A., you got to have kids with you at the water park. It's creepy without... 7131 says, I feel guilty when I do fun things such as a water park without my kids. That's on you.
Yeah, so this is the one that kind of had me changing my point of view, because I'm with Keith from LA as far as I still kind of, there's still part of me that feels deep down that it's a little creepy for me to go on my own. But from 3667 points out, would you as an adult go to Astroworld on your own? Same thing. Now, when Astroworld was here, I wasn't an adult, but I think I would.
By yourself?
Well, okay, maybe not by myself, but like if let's say the 3-year-old's with my parents or something, my wife and I could go. I think it wouldn't be weird. Going by myself, probably still a little weird, but going as an adult couple, I don't think would be weird. So if it wouldn't be weird, like in an Astroworld, which sadly doesn't exist, then I think you could apply the same thing to a water park. Not that I would do it, but I also get the texter's point.
I wouldn't go alone to the movie.
Yeah, that's. I think,
but
you got your own hang-up.
But
so that's
part of that
different.
Is because even if it's an action movie, okay, well, if me and my buddy go check it out, well, then afterwards you got someone to immediately get feed, talk about, did you like it, dislike it, what'd you like, what'd you not like. You can break it down as you're just by yourself sitting there. But I also would never go to a theme park by myself. But if you go with a friend, well, that's fun because now the big roller coasters and all the rides and all the things that you're doing, at least – I think if you go to a freaking amusement park by yourself, that's as creepy as going to a kid's movie by yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's as creepy, no, but I still would feel a little uncomfortable. I get the texter's point that it's going to a theme park by yourself would kind of be the same thing as going to the water park by yourself, but I would still see it more for adult couples more than by yourself. But I think on the movie thing, I think you've got some sort of hang up here. Like I don't view going to a movie by yourself the same as going to a theme park by yourself, because to me, going to a theme park is kind of a shared experience. You're on the roller coaster, you're reacting at the same time, you're coming off the ride like, oh my god, that was great. Movie, I could text a buddy afterwards like, oh my god, did you see that movie? Like, that was awesome. I could text him afterwards.
Statham and a wife being yellow, loved it. I didn't finish it. My wife and I literally went to Splash Town without the kids earlier this month. We have season passes. It's nice to do Six Flags without them sometimes, from 5798. That's a little different. Like, you're a parent. I get you have season passes. I would think that's for with the kids. I just can't see if I've already taken my kids there and have season passes, because I got to believe I'm using it multiple times in the summer. That if they're out of town, I don't think Lisa and I are going, yeah, we're going back.
Well, I guess it would depend on how many times you've already gone, because if in a season pass scenario, if you've gone, let's say, over the course of half a year, 8-9 times, then maybe you're kind of tired of it and it's lost the newness and the thrill. But I could see, like, if it hasn't been that many times, maybe you've gone once or twice, the kids are out of town, you want to get the use of the season pass and you enjoy roller coasters, then why not? Do you enjoy roller coasters? Is that part of the thing? Do you not enjoy them?
They're okay, but
see,
like,
I think that's part of it. Then,
but Lisa loves them.
Okay, so that I think we've hit on why that might be weird for you, because you're not getting the enjoyment out of actually doing it. For you, the enjoyment is taking your kids and seeing them be happy, because you're not really enjoying the roller coasters on your own.
I enjoy
them,
but
it'd be
I don't
different.
Need to, I'm not the people like, you know, if you're a thrill seeker, or you're just a roller coaster fan. But if I go on the big roller coasters anywhere, Disney or anywhere, once I've done the big rides once, I'm good. I don't need to do them over and over. Too many people go, I got to go down that right away. I got to go on it again. Why?
Well, it's because it's fun. I think you hit on it.
All right. Twisters with – this is for Todd. It says, Twisters with their sister sounds like an adult film. Not wrong. When you go to a movie with a buddy, Do see, I shouldn't read. I'm like Jeremy. I shouldn't read this. Do urinal stall rules go into play when it comes to seating? Absolutely. You don't sit right next to
No, no, there's a buffer.
There's definitely there's at least a seat buffer. It has to be.
Yeah, there's
absolutely
a buffer.
No question about
well,
it.
Well, I mean putting the implication aside, just comfort, like you want your armrest, you want a place for your soda. Yeah, no, there's definitely always a buffer.
409 Josh says, think there's variables that impact every scenario. I think a couple can go more places without kids without it being creepy than an individual going places without kids. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think okay. So. Yeah, and that was kind of what we talked about a few texters ago when he brought up going to the I think it was Splashdown, he said, with his wife. I think it changes the scenario if you're not by yourself. No, though 0365 points out, there. I think there is one exception to this. Like, going by yourself, creepy, maybe it's okay if you have, your wife or whatever with you. Disney World, I think, changes things a little bit.
Why?
Or at least it magnifies the creepiness. Maybe it's still it's still okay to go if it's just you and a partner. But the whole idea of going by yourself, like whatever creepy factor there was, if you go into a water park or let's say Astroworld by yourself, it magnifies it by 10 if you're going to Disney World by yourself. Because that to me, that's basically walking into your like trampoline park scenario. Like what you see the adult walk in by themselves and just the thought is, what in the world are you doing here? This cannot be good.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, I see that. Like, yeah, it's almost someone says Blankers clearly is not an introvert. I mean, what tipped you off?
I would not classify it as an
introvert. Think that has anything to do with the fact that it just more so like going out to eat. I would just have, delivery to the, go pick something up, bring it back to the room or have something delivered to the room rather than go and sit in a restaurant, everything. Cause I think I look like a doofus sitting there by myself in a restaurant. No offense, Brian, but I mean,
Well, thank you. None taken. Nine times out of 10, I agree with you. Like if, let's say the wife's out of town, nine times out of 10, I would order, to go, or I would order delivery and stay home and watch Netflix. But there's some restaurants and Fogo de Chao, like you can't really get that delivery. And something like, for my birthday every year, something we get the coupons every once in a while. My wife doesn't eat meat. She's a vegetarian. So I might go on an afternoon and eat there by myself, put the headphones in, maybe watch something on my phone, listen to a podcast. Maybe that's weird, maybe it's not, but I mean, some restaurants you can't really enjoy it with the take-home experience.
True, but I don't think when my family's out of town, the first thing I'm thinking about is Fogo de Chao.
No, that's not the first thing I'm thinking. I've just done it before.
I'm thinking about being comfortable, changing channels, having total control of every remote and everything, and not, just relaxing and being able to just switch from a game to a movie to a show, whatever, and be cool. And, like, I feel like you have to dress up for, like, a restaurant like Fogo de Chao.
Nah. I mean, jeans and a shirt. You don't have to dress up that. You're not having to put on a suit for Fogo de Chao.
Okay. Well, still, even jeans and a shirt might be how we dress every day.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, right. Usually basketball shorts and a T-shirt.
Exactly. And people have a problem with that. I don't because I can. And I can, therefore I do. If you could, you would too. All right, let's get into it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Astros get a big series win against the Mariners. Are you upset they didn't sweep? Are you okay with the fact that they won? They're in first place. That's a good thing. Let me hear your thoughts on that, more so than just water parks, movies, and everything by yourself. 713-780-3776. Call or text the show. You can always hit us up on YouTube. You can hit us up on Twitch. You can hit us up on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows. Allstate Siding and Windows just did new windows on my house. I am telling you, they are a difference maker. It's amazing how much money I'm saving on my energy bills and the fact that the thermostat is set much higher, but it still feels much cooler in my house than it did previously because of the fact that those windows do everything you want them to do. They protect the outside of your house. They protected us from Beryl when the storm came in. And then on top of it, they save you a ton of money on your energy bills. And let's not forget the fact that when people roll up to the house, they're like, did you have the house painted? Did you do something different? And I said, no, we had new windows put in, and it really upgraded the overall curb appeal of the house. Phenomenal. And that's why I tell everybody to go to Allstate Siding and Windows. They're the best in the business. They've been in Houston for almost 50 years. They've supported this station and sports teams throughout this community for a long time because they're dedicated to Houstonians. So much so that they're going to be dedicated to you and everything that they do. That means they will do free estimates for you. All they've got, all you got to do is call them, and they will come to you and just tell you all the different things they can do. From the unbelievable siding options that you have that put that hard shell finish around your house so that it protects you and you don't have to do all the extra painting and maintenance that you have to do when you don't have siding, to all the different window options and the fact that the windows not only look good, but they actually are great for you to save money. They've got tons of deals going on. 30% off all windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job. Free estimates. Just call them. They come to you to show you what they can do. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Go see my friends right now at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, back on the Bees, Brian and Blank, as we roll through up until 6 o'clock this evening. Jeremy's on vacation this week, so it is BMAC today, Thursday and Friday, Barry Laminack on Tuesday and Wednesday, but we'll have some fun kicking around and get to some sports eventually when we feel like it, like right now. But we got to get to the big series that was the World Series for Mariners fans. Yet again, another tough L to take as they get geared up for their granola and all of their grunge and all of their excitement.
Is granola a Seattle thing?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I thought that was more like a California thing.
No, so when I lived in Portland, that was the big thing. Was like,
well, Portland's different than Seattle, though, no?
But that's the knock, is they're tree-hugging, granola-eating, flannel-wearing grungers and
grunge music's
things.
Good, granola's good, so maybe they have some points.
They were pretty harsh on Jeremy the last time he kind of got into it with Seattle fans. But the bottom line is they always get jacked up. And you know, remember the last time when the fans were tweeting out, you better make this place damn loud.
Yeah.
And then
they can't kick you all out. Be as loud as you want. Yeah.
Tell them whatever you want. You know, tell them they're cheaters. Do whatever. And then you got your, you know, you're picking up your undergarments and walking out because you got crushed and you lost 2 out of 3. But whatever.
And I also don't think they realize, and I haven't, you know, looked up decibel levels to compare, you know, the Mariners ballpark to the other places the Astros play on the road, but especially guys like Altuve, they kind of thrive on that. Like, these guys that have been around the team for a while now, I mean, obviously Altuve and Bregman go back to the first title. Even guys like Yordan have now been around since 2019, so we're talking, you know, 4 or 5 seasons. These guys have been through it. They've heard the boos. They've heard the reactions and the jeers and all the insults hurled at them in every ballpark across the Major League Baseball. It's not going to get to them. Like, I mean, last year where they were terrible at home and great on the road. They thrive on it.
The thing to me, Brian, is the stupidity of the intelligence level of the fans in other parks. Like, even of course from all of the freaking stupidity that emulates from Dallas. The fact that Yordan goes to the All-Star game, and I guess there's a rivalry there too, but you're going to cheer when Altuve gets hit, but at least he was through the cheating scandal, even though that doesn't make it right. It's total BS. But at the same time, they overwhelmingly boo Orbit. They boo Yordan. You know, wherever you go, you know, and they start yelling, "Hey, you cheater, Yordan!" Did he really? Was he there then?
I don't take issue with – I mean, booing Orbit's weird. So, I mean, I don't even know what to say about that other than it's weird. But I don't have issue with them booing Yordan because, like you said, it's a rivalry. And, like, that's what you boo the players of your rival team. Like, I would go to a Rockets game and boo players from the Jazz, even if they had nothing to do with, you know, the mid-90s and the Stockton shot when Karl Malone hugged Clyde Drexler at midcourt.
Yeah, please don't remember.
But I would still boo him even if the player had nothing to do with it because they're wearing a Jazz uniform. So I get that from Ranger fan booing Yordan Alvarez. Where I do take issue is the thing you mentioned, which happened in Minnesota a few weeks ago, where Altuve gets hit and they all cheer.
That's
I mean, for multiple reasons, obvious reasons.
That's Bush League roping in guys that were not part of the cheating scandal and weren't even there, like Yordan and
dumb.
Pena and all that. That's just blatant stupidity. But when you look at it, you know, Seattle, you know, they wanted their big moment. They've been riding in the sun all season long. That, you know, the Astros weren't supposed to be here, and boom, just like that, you lose 2 out of 3, and you're sitting there in a dogfight the rest of the year, and now doing some things and looking like the panic button might be coming, as well as them trying to go, you know, as much as Jerry DePoto and other guys used to say, well, you know, we're doing it for the big picture, we're doing it for the long term, we're trying to, this team still has just completely been blah.
I mean, they got great starting pitching. There's no denying that. Logan Gilbert and George Kirby and Luis Castillo. They've got Brian Wu. They've got a lot of great starting pitching, but it's the same problem they've had for – I know people like Paul pointed out, you know, some of the ballpark factors as to what may lead to this, but it's, you know, it's beyond that. But the offense has sucked. I mean, Julio Rodriguez has taken a big step back. Guys they've had on the roster, they've had good seasons in the past, like Ty France, haven't hit this year. The offense is just awful. I mean, even before the Astros actually passed them in the standings, you look at the run differential, and the pitching's been great, but the run differential is crap because their offense isn't scoring. Well, I don't think they can keep up with. I don't think the Mariners can keep up in this race if they don't add a bat and support and, you know, help out their pitchers a little bit.
Now, and the thing to me is that, and I know the guys were talking about it on the broadcast, but Ty France 2 years ago was an All-Star.
He was great in 21 and 22.
You demote him to the 9-hole. For the first time in his career in the series, and then you outright cut him after the series. You flat out released him after the series.
Yeah.
It's like, until you find a replacement and you know that you have someone, you're going to try and bring a guy up from AAA. That's great. He's a highly touted prospect. But you're in the middle of a massive race to try and win the division, and you're going to cut a veteran like that and just say, bye, we're done. Like, you're right, because Julio Rodriguez has been he's got hot recently. But he has been a massive disappointment. The guys that they've tried, you know, the guys that they've tried the last couple of years to bring in, or their prospects, Kelenic, that they thought he was their big prospect. Now he's playing well for the Braves. Maybe you get the hell out of Seattle and that park, and maybe you hit the ball better too. But Suarez, they bring in all these guys. They keep trying to experiment to get better, and they only get worse offensively, no matter how good their pitching is.
It's almost like a reverse, you know, Coors Field in Colorado. Like, yeah, like it's. I feel like, I mean, the Rockies have been in the league since 1993, and I could count the number of good starting pitchers they've had on one hand. It's a scenario where the ballpark is such a disadvantage for pitchers at Coors Field that I just can't ever envision them being a serious competitor, because they can't get enough guys that can actually conquer that ballpark. It might be, I mean, especially when you look at the Mariners' history outside of a few isolated years, it might be approaching the same thing in Seattle, where it's such a problem hitting at that ballpark that they're not going to be able to sustain success, because the ballpark is a complete detriment to offensive production.
Well, where do you want to start? Since they won the series,
let's start with the good.
With the good. And the good for me, and there was plenty of it, but when you start talking about the fact that, you know, you get what you got out of like a Yiner Diaz. The fact is Yiner Diaz in the first game was big, you know, had the two RBI hit. He's hitting the baseball again. I heard the guys this morning talking about this, and I really, Lance was talking about, I really don't have a problem with the fact that Yiner doesn't have the kind of pop that he had a year ago, because of the fact that pitchers were still trying to figure out how to pitch him. He saw a lot of really good pitches. He's adjusted. Whether he hits home runs or not, he's hitting the baseball on a pretty consistent basis. He's getting hits with runners in scoring position. And offensively, he's been what you needed in part when Tucker's been out.
I would mostly agree with that I'm not as concerned about his lack of power right now as I was Pena's last year, where he hit zero home runs over the last 3 months of the season. But I would like to see the home run, obviously, total jump up. I mean, he's got, what, 8-9 right
eight
now
nine,
on the year. I didn't ever buy the fact that he would jump from, what was it, 22 as a rookie. I never really thought he was going to make the jump when he went to a full-time starter from a part-time player, that he was going to make this jump from like 23 to the mid-30s. I never really saw that in him. But at the same time, you look at him, he doesn't look weak. He's a powerful guy. There should be no reason, especially since he is hitting the ball at a pretty decent rate. When you look at his slash lines, there shouldn't be a reason why he hits only 8 home runs. He's probably on pace for 14 or 15. That drop is a little bit concerning. I mean, right now it doesn't matter a whole lot, especially when you get Kyle Tucker back, because with Yordan and Tucker and Bregman now hitting the ball well, hell, even 5-9 Jose Altuve being a good power hitter, you don't necessarily need home runs from Yordan or from Yiner Diaz. But as the you know, next season beyond, when guys leave, especially like Bregman, and you might need more power from that position. If it doesn't pick back up like we saw from him last season, then that would definitely be a concern, yeah. And a place the Astros might need to make a move to add some more power.
I think the other thing though too is it's a work in progress, right? This is his first full season of being a full time player in Major League Baseball. I think that the catching was a big adjustment, as we talked about. The fact the prep work was a big adjustment, as we talked about. I forget which telecast I was watching. It might have been the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, when they showed, I guess on ESPN2, they show where on every pitch, based on every pitch, where the hot zone is, what the hitter is normally looking for, what the pitcher normally throws. And they're like, if you're a catcher, this is stuff that you have to study for every series, for every lineup, for every guy in it. And that's why a lot of people don't understand how mentally taxing catching can be. I fully believe, first of all, I think he'll get to 20 this year. And I also fully believe that as he gets
he's
more comfortable.
He's at 8 right now.
I still think that he's going to – look, the last time he was at like 2 or 3 or 1 or 2, and then all of a sudden in a week he hit 4 or 5. I think he's going to find another hot
pocket. Yeah, when he got 2 days off in a row, I remember that. Yeah,
I think he'll find another hot pocket, so to speak. And I think that it'll push him closer to 20. But over his career, I think that he'll become more of a power hitter again. I just think this year's been a heck of an adjustment, for maybe a little shock for him.
Yeah, I don't want to be like a box office take artist and get completely caught up on home runs only. Like if he was also, hitting for a lot of doubles, if the power was coming in areas that didn't show up necessarily just in the home run column, then I think you could make the argument that we maybe shouldn't be that concerned. But you look at the slugging percentage. It dropped from 538 last year to 414 this year. I mean, it's a huge drop. I mean, home runs aside, the doubles aren't there either. Obviously, as a catcher, he's not going to hit a lot of triples, even though he is faster than the average catcher. I'm not sounding the alarm. I'm not, raising a huge red flag, but it is something to watch going forward as far as roster construction. And outside of this year, because like I said, I think, with Yordan and Tucker and Bregman and Altuve, they can get home runs from other spots, get that power from other spots. But as this team progresses in the future years and Bregman drops off the roster, we'll see what happens with Tucker. If his slugging percentage and home run total doesn't go up, they're going to have to, not that you would replace Diaz necessarily, but you're going to have to make some decisions at other spots to add more power to the lineup if he can't do better than this.
You may have to, yes. But I think for this year, you just ride it out because you know that you have the construction, like you said, with Bregman still in the lineup. And then going forward, I think they'll have to adjust accordingly. That's why it's few and far between to find catchers that are really good offensively. And the ones that do, that weren't great, great, great offensively, either find another position or they're glorified as being some of the, like Piazza, like Johnny Bench, those type guys. They were like the exception to the rule, how good they were hitting too.
For sure.
All right, we got plenty more goods to get to. We got the bads and the uglies as well. If you guys want to chime in, 713-780-3776. You can call, text, hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. We're checking them all throughout the show, but we're carrying on the Astros conversation after the 2-1 series win in Seattle. More Killer Bees right around the corner, right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No Branham this week. It is BMAC and myself as we continue to roll through hour number one, three-hour extravaganza. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. 0002 says, have y'all talked about bringing Machete back to be the mentor to one Yiner Diaz? We did talk about that last week. Jeremy and I were both on the same page of, you can bring him back as a coach, but you're not going to bring him back as a player, because you can't tell me that Victor Caratini is less than Martin Maldonado.
I mean, no one's less than Martin Maldonado.
Offensively,
at this age, I mean,
Jose Abreu is.
I don't even know if I would say. I mean, Machete was hitting what I think Jeremy said it was like 119. I think is what he's hitting this year.
I think it's like 182.
Okay, still, I mean, I guess technically that is higher than.
But he has more bombs.
Sure. I mean, I remember last year before Machete, because last year, or going from last season to this season, his batting average dropped even more than it was, and it was bad here. But I know last season, before it dropped even further going to the White Sox, he was literally the fourth worst hitter of all time going by batting average. So, yeah, there's you can't do much worse than Machete at, behind the plate as a hitter.
There's no paradise in having to be forced to make a choice between the two of them. But at least with Machete, I'm going to take the defensive ability instead of the liability of Abreu, and then I'm going to take more power.
I don't even know if he has the defensive ability anymore. That was something we talked about last season when we were trying to make the case for why Yonder should be playing more. Like his pop time and his how many batters he was throwing out. He had tons of passed balls out of the blue for some reason when he'd been a pretty reliable
like his prep and his be able to like
okay yeah that for sure
the psychology
yeah the
of,
stuff we can't see for yeah, sure
and you know I dare I say mound visits but the psychology of being able to you know control your pitching staff. You know, do all the prep work, do all the other things that they said he did extensively better than most catchers. There's a value to that, yes.
Yeah.
But either way, you expect more offensively out of whoever's playing catcher for you.
More than Jose Abreu, for sure. But, I mean, to take the question seriously, I don't even know if I'd want him necessarily as a bench coach because there might be – it may be more so with Dusty Baker if he was still the manager. But I would hate for there to be any just just an idea in the back of Joe Espada's mind is like maybe he might want to come out of retirement and play a little, especially if somebody went down, because that might be his foot in the door to get back in the playing time, and I don't want to see that ever again.
I don't want to see that. All right, what do you got for your goods?
Lots of goods. Obviously,
we're going to go back.
Hunter Brown on Friday he had that little blip. I'm forgetting it was the start before the Rangers series. I'm forgetting who it was now at the top of my head, but he had a little blip there where his dominant run since the middle
Miami?
Of May. Was it Miami? No, he didn't pitch against Miami because he pitched against Texas.
Okay,
I can look it up while you're talking, but Hunter Brown was great on Friday night. His little blip that he had on the radar a few starts ago seems to be just that, a blip, because he again was the same Hunter Brown that we've seen dominate since about the middle of May. Really, going back to the start after that Royals blow up, which was mid-April, you take his ERA from that point forward, and it's a completely different player than you would have thought when you looked at those first half stats as a total.
Yeah, no, I had him on my list at the top of my list as well. Obviously, Yordan gets on the list, the cycle yesterday. The fact that, he seems – I mean, coming out – the thing was the worrisome thing was the fact that the double came after he fouled the ball off his leg, and you're like, oh, God, we can't have anything happen to Yordan.
It was Minnesota for Hunter Brown.
Oh, there you go. Okay. And the fact that, Yordan keeps putting back to baseball, he's intimidating enough that defensive lineups are going to be pitching around him, and his presence alone is enough to kind of set the table for you sometimes offensively. So I obviously had him on my list as well. And Jake's a guy. The big home run on Friday night was just something where I started to get that feeling again. Like they had a hell of a game, a great start by Hunter Brown, but this one's going to get away from him. And then lo and behold, he comes up with the big bomb that they needed, followed by a Yiner home run. And then you got your win, so definitely he has to be on the list.
Yeah, Jake Meyers was one of the guys I had on my list. Another guy that had a home run, Jeremy Pena, had a hit in each game, including a home run on yesterday. So that was nice to see, because he's hit a little bit of a lull over the last couple months. The batting average has dipped down. Some of the other slash lines are still fine. And overall, he's hitting the 280s, and if that's where he settles down as his norm, I will absolutely take that. Compared to where his slash line was the last couple years. But, Jeremy Pena was really good this weekend.
I'm not sure where you are on this one, but I think that as much as we look at Cabbage as a guy that's just kind of there, when he's in the lineup, he's normally good for a knock. He can play good defense. We've seen that. And I don't think he gets enough credit as being whatever this team needs. He's found a knack for being kind of timely and that he doesn't suck. You know, that he does his job.
He doesn't suck. Yeah, I'm fine with that take. He's definitely, not to state the obvious, but he's definitely not someone I would want in the starting lineup. He's not someone I would want playing more than, a bat off the bench, a utility piece if someone needs a day off or is injured. But he feels like a guy that, I think his batting average is right around 250 right now. That seems to be kind of where he's going to settle in, has decent power.
Defensively.
Gives you a left-handed bat, so that's always nice for the versatility, depending on what matchups you're facing. So
stuck it to J-Rod with the no-fly zone yeah. after the catch, which I liked a lot.
I can't hate on that for sure. So I think he's definitely a piece worthy of being on the roster. But the question is, and this may be a topic we get into later, but if this team does, you know, add somebody at the deadline and maybe you get some pieces back, you know, from off the injured list, then is he someone that is, you know, kind of a victim of the numbers game as this roster kind of trims down towards October? But yeah, he's been a pleasant surprise because I remember kind of, you know, from based off what he did in LA with the Angels, being kind of optimistic about him being a decent piece when they added him. But he looked awful during spring training, the early part of the season, whether it be here or in AAA, not great. But he's definitely been playing better lately.
No, yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, the bads to me was, and it was kind of like...
Are you going to have any more goods?
You got any more?
Yeah, 7, 8, 9, back-to-back days, Friday and Saturday. Shut the door. We saw him do the same thing in the Miami series, I guess, right, you know, a few days before the All-Star break. So, yeah, 2 days in a row, 7, 8, 9 on Friday and Saturday. Shut the door, didn't allow a single run between the 6 innings they pitched. So, as much crap as we gave them over the first half, I know you still have an eye on Brian Abreu about creating
not just
his own
Brian
trouble.
Brian Abreu, like, haters still giving up pretty barreled up baseballs.
2 days in a row, no runs allowed through 6 innings for those 3.
2 days in a row, warning track power, thank God, and some defensive work to save some runs from scoring.
Hey.
Yes, the box score shows that they were scoreless. Didn't leave me without some nervous moments with some bat balls that were barreled up.
To play devil's advocate, though, sometimes, you know, your ballpark. Seattle, you can afford to be a fly ball pitcher. The ball doesn't travel as far as there. If you get them to hit it to the right part of the ballpark, it doesn't matter if you're a fly ball pitcher. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen the ERAs, except for Hader. Hader's kind of been stagnant. But we've seen the ERAs going down for Abreu and Presley in particular.
Yep.
So back-to-back days of shutout ball for 7-8-9 was pretty – it has to wind up on the good list.
Cabbage and Joey on defense was my last one, just because they actually did save more than those guys you're talking about. They actually helped save the game with the 2 catches they made in the corners on the one night. The bad for me, unfortunately, starts with Seth Martinez. I mean, Seth Martinez comes in. I think he's been overworked to some degree sometimes, but, you know, he comes in, you know, he got ahead in the count. That's the biggest problem I have with a lot of the pitchers when they have problems in the bullpen. If you got an 0-2 count or you're up in the count, 1-2, 0-2, I don't want to see anything too hittable. And Taylor Scott's been a victim of that. Seth Martinez the other night, I'm not sure. The bigger problem with me is that's bad and ugly about this is you've got an $11 million relief pitcher that's sitting out there that no one, rightfully so, has the confidence to put in a game anymore because of the fact that he just is going to blow up. And Seth Martinez gets overused, and then that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I asked you during the break when you mentioned Seth Martinez, like, what other options do they have?
Right.
And the option, like you pointed out there, would be Montero, but you just can't trust Montero there. Seth Martinez, I mean, deserves to be on the bad list for this week because he obviously...
I hate putting him there.
And that's kind of the point I was getting to. Like, he's had such a good season. Like, I don't really want to take him to task, but certainly... when you look at just the recent results, you know, from yesterday, he deserves to be on the list. But, I mean, yeah, it's definitely something the Astros are going to have to look at the deadline because, while, you know, Hader, I mean, I know he gives up a few barrels, gives up a few home runs when they have 3-run leads, he gives up the solo shots. But you know, Hader and Presley and Abreu and obviously Taylor with an E, and then Seth Martinez have all been really reliable, but those guys are getting overworked, and if you can't trust the people before them, specifically Montero, that might be a place they need to – not might be. That's a place where they need to add so you can start to maybe not use those guys as often and take some innings off their arm as we get towards October.
Yeah, other bads. Joey at the plate doesn't look great. Lil Perfido.
No, he was I had his stat. I think he was – was he 0 for 12 this weekend?
He was 0 for the weekend.
No, I'm sorry. He was 1 for 9. He was 1 for 9
this
weekend.
When did he get the hit?
I'd have to look it up. Yeah, Lil Perfido was 1 for 9, and then some of the other bats, because I'll rope him in, but it's for a similar reason.
Jazz had one.
Singleton was 1 for 10.
Okay.
Yeah, Singleton was 1 for 10, and Jake, even though he was on the good list, he had the home run, but he was 1 for 12 for the weekend.
Ooh.
That was the only hit he had, so you got to mention him. And then Breggy was also 2 for 10 with no runs and no ribbies. So a bunch of guys other than, you know, Yiner and Jordan and a few others had some rough weekends at the plate, but thankfully the pitching until Sunday came through, so it didn't matter.
So when you look at it overall, I didn't have any uglies simply because of the fact they took 2 out of 3 in Seattle. It was a big series. I couldn't think of anything that Espada did differently. He's handcuffed in having to use Martinez and Taylor Scott and those guys because, as we mentioned, of the Montero situation, he didn't really – yeah, and he didn't want to go to anything else. So if you guys have anything else, 713-780-3776, good, bad, and ugly as we continue to roll on. We can get to those after the break, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got plenty more to talk about, including your Texans. They are getting into more and more of training camp, and there's more and more things coming out of it that we need to discuss. Join us, won't you? Second hour comes right around the corner. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
KFNC and 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Presented by Zadok Jewelers.